First song I got wrote out here is Amazing Grace. So I heard the song downstairs and it was a different chorus. I'm like, well, what's he singing there? And I came up here and Amazing Grace already started. So praise the Lord. I believe he's moving on both ends, as Brother Nathan says. And We're here to have church. Amen. So thankful he's here with us, no matter where we're at, in the living room, here at church, or wherever it might be. But praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, Satan's like the roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. Oh, but God has promised us today his overcoming power. So greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room, baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? No matter what the problem, he's greater than it. Amen. We have a few prayer requests this morning. So please pray for Caleb and Mita Compton from Beckway. God graciously allowed Sister Mita to become pregnant, but she's having complications required to live for her to live on the mainland until her due date in June. She's also having thyroid problems. Just remember them there. And also remember Sister Stephanie Duval. Her brother-in-law's CT scan came back negative for cancer. They said it was just bronchitis, and the bubbles that they had seen on the CT scan are gone. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. God can heal it. It could have been cancer, but I believe he healed it anyway. Sometime like Sister Tina, the cyst, whatever was there, but the cancer had died. So let's thank him for what he's doing and continue to do. Amen. Remember Sister Dottie Bryan in prayer for complete healing. And also remember the Lettingham family. Job Lettingham passed away this weekend. Just remember those in prayer. And Sister Lily Qualls, Brother James Phillips' sister, and Sister Brenda Layton's cousin, she passed away the other day. So please remember their families in prayer. And also Sister Estera and Sister Lydia's dad went home to be with the Lord on Friday evening. Please remember the family in prayer. We know that having a loss like that is tough on everyone, and we just want to hold up the families in prayer. And Lord, let us just have our hearts go out to the families and just continue to be with them. And Brother Jimmy, would you come up and pray over these requests this morning? Invite the Lord to come among us. If we have any unspoken requests this morning, by lift our hands. Lord, just come among us. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. Anoint Brother Nathan, Lord. Just what you have for us, Lord, just speak to us.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd enter into each home, Lord. May your angels, Lord, line the walls of each home, each car, Lord, into each heart. Father, Lord, there's requests made, Lord. Father, those that lost loved ones, Lord, you're the mighty comforter, Lord. Those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, that Father, that you would go to them. You're a mighty healer, Lord. You're a mighty God. You can do all things, Lord. Father, even through this virus that's going around, You're a mighty God. You're the protector of your people, Lord. So, Father, I pray now that you would go to each one, Lord. Anoint their homes. Anoint the children, Lord. Help us to treat you with the utmost respect, Lord. May we give you the uttermost place in our hearts, in our homes, in this place here, Lord, in this church. Lord, may we lift you up high above all our troubles. May we give you praise today. We entered into these gates, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts. So, Father, as we worship you, Lord, receive our worship, Lord. Abide with us. Be with our brother, Lord, as he breaks the bread of life, Lord. He can break it, Lord. But, Lord, you give it to us, Lord. You help us to receive it with the grace and the mercy that you've provided for us. So, Father, as we continue in this service, Lord, I ask you to be with each and every one. Be with your bride, Universal, Lord. As far north, east, and west, Lord, may you go to each and every one, Lord. And, Father, we commit this service, all that's said and done, for your glory and honor, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Sister Crystal, could you come at this time? We have a couple songs to do this morning. Just pray for us. Amen. I'm thankful he's an on-time God, aren't you?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm thankful no matter what the storm, he's there. Amen.
Change.
secure and warm. Lord, I want to thank you for the storm. God that delivers. Amen. No matter what the problem. Brother Nathan was preacher of the night. We'll praise him anyhow. Amen. I pray for some of the singing this we sang a few weeks ago and like just felt led to sing again this morning. Today I faced a mountain that I have no strength to climb. For the struggle of this journey left me weak, both in body and in mind. Where I stand to the peak is a distance on my own I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right here on my knees. Soon I'll soar like an eagle. High on wings of faith. Can almost see God's face rising in His splendor to heights I never knew. Oh, what once looked like a mountain's just a hill. Heaven's point of view. Oh, I may face things tomorrow I can't comprehend today, circumstances so uncertain make it hard find the strength to pray. Oh, but I'm living in the promise. I'll never leave you. I will always see you through. Oh, thank you, Lord. So what's this mountain to an eagle flying high? Heaven's point of view. Soon I'll soar like an eagle. High on wings of faith. Far into the heavens. Where I can almost What once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. Oh, what once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. So I'm casting all my cares on you, 'cause I know you love me. Can we stand this morning? Oh, redemption by blood. Oh, that's the greatest love story. Oh, for restoration. That's what seven angels and a cloud testify. My Redeemer's no longer dead. He's risen, he's alive, and he's coming back for you and me. Oh, so I'm casting all my cares on you, 'cause I know you love me. Redemption by blood. Oh, that's the greatest love story. Oh, for restoration, for redemption. That's what seven angels in a cloud testify. My Redeemer's no longer dead. He's risen, he's alive, and he's coming back for you and me. So I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Oh, I'll claim his promise, he will supply. Let the world go by. I'll claim his promise, he will supply. We walk together, my Lord and I, and I'll stand for Jesus. Let the
Is that your testimony?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Joshua, if you would. With the passing of so many family members and things recently, different families losing loved ones, and Brother Joshua had asked if we could sing this song this morning. I thought it'd be fitting. And I remember Brother Branham talking in the time of the 1937 flood that a man who had been sort of his associate pastor there at the tabernacle in the early years by the name of George Dearc. He ran across him right during the time of the flood, and Brother George grabbed him and said, "Brother Branham, if I don't see you again, I'll see you on the other side." And he said he died during the time of the flood. So we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we certainly know who holds tomorrow, as we've said before. But we just want to share this song
I pray it'll be a comfort to those who have lost loved ones. And we have that hope. I'm so thankful. There's so many during a time like this that are losing loved ones, but I'm thankful that we have an assurance that we'll see them again. Amen. Oh, if we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, if to God we have been true and we've lived above all sin, then for us there'll be a meeting, there'll be a hallelujah greeting. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. Aren't you thankful for that reassurance? Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. See you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. Oh, there with our blessed Savior. To my loved ones, let me say that they'll surely come a day when our Lord shall come again to catch Miss Jesus Christ away. Oh, so get ready. Message, go and greet him, and I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. Yes, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see that meeting over there with our blessed Savior, we'll live and reign forever. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. Well, praise the Lord. I know we've gone a little longer with the song service than we have typically with the streaming services, but I pray that it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. And just had another song in my heart. By the way, Brother Ben sang that song, Greater Is He That Is In You. I was planning on singing that at the end of service, but he went ahead and took care of that for me, so he didn't know what I was preaching on this morning. But amen, God knows all about it. So I love when the Lord does things like that. When he works on both ends of the line. Brother Joshua already had a song that he had planned on singing, and now he had a song that I planned on singing. But I hadn't planned on singing this one, but I just thought it'd be a good time to tell the devil, even though we're facing many dangers, toils, and snares, still the bride of Jesus Christ will not be denied. Right. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, when pangs of death seize o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till my Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be. Till my Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. have been the days of old. I wrestle with my Lord. Oh, and instant with the courage bold, I stood up on His word. Oh, I would not be denied. You don't have to be little bride. I would not be denied till my Jesus came and made me whole. Oh, while they play that this morning, why don't you shake somebody's hand in your living room there? Walk around and praise the Lord a little bit. Satan said, my Lord was gone, and He would not even hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work's already done, and Christ my Lord, He is here. You feel Him here? I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied till Jesus came. Well, old Satan says, this message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied till my Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Well, old Satan, he'll tell you that your Lord is gone, and He will not even hear your prayer. But you just praise the Lord, 'cause the work's already done, and Christ our Lord, He is here. So now I would not be. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Well, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that we don't have to be denied.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Even in times of crisis. Thank you, musicians, and God bless you richly. I want to look at a thought this morning. I was reading in my just regular daily devotions a few days ago and ran across this verse that we'll read here in a moment, and it stood out to me, and I thought, well, I might preach on that at some point, and the more I looked at it, the more I thought, well, I think right now is that point, that time. So we want to look at this thought of, but God was with him. All right. But God was with him. And I just want to say, for those that have lost loved ones this weekend, the Phillips family, the Layton family, the Lettingham family, the Johnson and Lehechanu, and different families that have lost loved ones over the weekend, I pray that even through a time like this, that God will be with you in a way that only He can. There's only so much as brothers and sisters. We try our best to encourage, but there's only so much that words and kindness and things can do. But to know that God is with us in a time like that, and in a time like we're all facing as a nation, to know that God is with us, that makes the difference. So we believe that God is with us and that He can give a peace that passes understanding. There's people panicking and worrying and not knowing what to do, but God is with us, so who can be against us?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. Let's look at it together. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Amen. And delivered him out of all his afflictions.
Hallelujah.
And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him a governor over Egypt and all his house.
Right.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads together this morning for a word of prayer together. And for those here physically present and for those out there that will be streaming in or that will go back and listen to it afterwards, maybe if you just raise up your hand if you have a special need on your heart, and let's just remember it before the Lord. Dear Jesus, Lord, as we approach your throne this morning, Lord, we're in different times than we're used to facing. We're going out in uncharted territory, and Lord, we're not used to having services like this and people having to gather in their homes and not be able to be a part of the assembly here physically with us, Lord. And our hearts long, our hearts yearn to assemble together, as your scripture taught us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even the more as we see the day approaching. So, Lord, it grieves our hearts. I know to some people it, they don't think any more about it than anything. Maybe they've even been happy just not to have to get up on Sunday morning and get ready and come out. But, Lord, for us, it's just something that, Lord, we long to be with our brothers and sisters and to shake their hands and see their faces, to hear the familiar amens and the voices ringing out in harmony, singing praises together with you. And Lord, to be here physically together to encourage one another. But yet we thank you that during these times that you've provided a way that, Lord, we can still come together and Lord, the people in their homes can enjoy the service as it's taking place. And we thank you for the technology. We thank you for our brother Trevor that's taken the time, Lord, and the efforts into making all this work as seamlessly as possibly for us. We thank you for, Lord, all those that have put their efforts in to come out, Lord, and be a part of each service, the musicians, the deacons, Lord, the trustees, the Lord, the song leaders, the ones that just come to pull and amen and, Lord, whatever it would be, each one in their own part, we thank you for them. And Lord, we thank you for those that long to be here, Lord, but couldn't be during this time. I pray that your Holy Spirit would go and give them a special blessing at this time in their homes, Lord. And for the children, Lord, that are sitting there, Lord, maybe it's hard for them not being in a church environment and being in a house where they're used to playing or running or talking or things like that. Lord, I pray that, Lord, may you give me as a minister, Lord, the ability, Lord, we don't think the church should be boring or stagnant. And so I pray, Lord, if it were a little cartoon or something like that that they were watching, it would keep their attention for an hour or more. So I pray, Lord, that you would give me inspiration, that the word would become alive to them as we begin to tell the stories of what you did back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what you're doing in our age, Lord. May it become alive to them in such a way, Lord. We don't come to church for entertainment, but Lord, we do want it to hold our attention, because the gospel should catch our attention, Father. Your prophet told us that it was the greatest calling card that had ever went out was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, for each one and each family, Lord, my heart goes out to them. As I sent texts around to some that I hadn't been in contact with much lately over the last week, and just trying to make sure everybody's okay, Lord, and how I miss shaking their hands at the back door and seeing them come into the church and go back out at the end of service. And Lord, just to interact with each one and hear how their week has been and things like that. Father, I pray during this time of while we're physically separated, yet may our hearts be knit in unity. Lord, not unity of a man except the man Christ Jesus, not unity of any pet doctrine or theology, but in unity of the word, the gospel, Lord. May our hearts be knit together. And Lord, when we come back, Lord, as whatever date that you'll see fit to permit for us to be able to all be here again together, Lord, I pray it would just be like a homecoming. Lord, what a rejoicing I believe it'll be when we come back together and we get to sit down in the pews and hear those first songs and hear the minister come forth, whatever you lay on his heart, and whoever or whatever it would be at that time, Father, I believe we'll come with anticipations, Lord. But Lord, we're anticipating you this morning as well, even though the condition is different, even though the circumstances different. Lord, we're anticipating that you'll do something. And Lord, I just pray that you take complete control. Be with each one. If there's sickness or needs financially or family, whatever it be, Lord, I pray that you'd move on the scene for each one. You know the needs that they held in their heart, Lord. And as we pray, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just go and begin to minister to those needs. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. In the scripture that we read this morning, this is Stephen's testimony as they begin to question him about the things that they had heard him say. If you go back and read the 6th and 7th chapter of the book of Acts, we find that they had found this man. He wasn't a dynamic preacher or something like that, what we would think that would have maybe been the one to play this part. He was a deacon in the church, but yet the scripture says that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was full of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that are full of a lot of different things. They might be full of opinions. They might be full of baloney. They might be full of pride. They might be full of selfishness. But this man was full of the Holy Ghost. What a thing to be full of. Yeah. Amen. And so they recognized this. And because of his character and his stature and the way that he went about and did things, they couldn't find anything to lay their hand against him. What a testimony to have. They couldn't find anything to say about the man, so they had to cook up a bunch of lies about him. And so they began to do this, and when they came together and they began to tell lies on the man, they gave him a chance to give witness for himself. Now, I love the way that this story unfolds, because most of us, if we'll be honest, if we were put in the same situation, we would do like most people would do. And if all of these accusations had come against us and we had been given an opportunity to speak, we would get the best attorney. We would get the best case put together. We would have the best defense. We would have all the best excuses. We would have eyewitnesses. No, some of these other people were there in the service. They didn't hear me say that. They didn't see me act that way. We would have eyewitness accounts. We would have a powerful defense for ourselves. And we would have if they had said we were at a certain place at a certain time and we weren't actually there, we would have all kinds of alibis set up to prove that we weren't there, and we would begin to lay these things out. Here these men were coming wanting to kill this man because they claimed that he was blaspheming, and he doesn't take one word to defend himself, but he starts back at Abraham and he begins to preach the gospel to a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees that thought they knew the gospel. But now he thinks, well, if you're going to give me time to testify, they thought he was going to testify about himself, but he took time to testify about what God had done down through the ages. And he didn't stop back there in history, but he brought it right up to date and began to show them what God was doing in his age. Oh, I pray that God would help us. Most of us, we want to take time, if somebody gives us time to testify, we want to testify about ourselves. Well, I did this and how I helped brother so and so. Oh my, I've been having a bad time, and just pray for me, and me, and I. And we begin to make everything about ourselves. But I hope that if I get an opportunity to testify, Brother Hoover, that I don't give the testimony of Nathan Bryant, but I begin to give the testimony of Jesus Christ and what he has done down through all ages. This man gets up and he begins at Abraham, and he begins to go down through, and he stops at Joseph, and he begins to tell how that even though this man was put into prison, and even though he was sold into slavery and all the terrible things that he was encountered, yet God was with him. What a testimony to give. He takes them down through all the Old Testament and brings them right up to date, what God was doing in this age and how that they had crucified Jesus Christ, and with wicked hands they had crucified the Prince of Peace. And my, they didn't sit there and say that was a pretty good testimony or that was a pretty good sermon. They got so angry at his testimony that they began to plug their ears and they began to run up on him and try to gnash him. Oh, I've seen some people get mad in services. I've seen people walk out of services. I've seen people stomp their feet and say, I'll never come back and hear that again. But I've never had one get so mad that he ran and tried to bite me. Oh my. Amen. In prayer lines, I've had a few try to bite me, but not over my preaching.
All
And it wasn't that person trying to bite me anyhow. It was a demon spirit on him. But hey, that's what this was as well. It was demon spirits in the religious realm blinding the eyes of the people. And here stands a man full of the Holy Ghost trying to share the gospel with him. And they reject it. But yet, as they begin to go and pick up stones and they begin to dash his head in, he kneels down. He says, "Lord, don't hold this to my charge." Oh, my, could we have that kind of testimony this morning? People physically trying to beat our brains out and us praying, "Lord, don't hold it to their charge. Lord, forgive them for this. It's not them. It's that old spirit that's on them making it do those things." And he didn't plead, "God, come and save me. God, where are you? God, deliver me. I thought she was a saving God. I thought she was a healing God. I thought she was a delivering God." He didn't bring any accusation to God. He said, "Into thy hands commend my spirit, Lord." And he passed into sleep. Didn't feel the rocks, didn't feel the pain. What a way to go. What a way to go. Why? Because God was with him. Genesis chapter 39 verse 1. We want to look at this morning the story that he was telling us about in his testimony. He told many other stories. He told of Abraham and Isaac and different ones down through there. But we want to focus in on this story of Joseph for a little while this morning. And we'll see how far we get. And if we get it done, then praise the Lord. And if we run out of time, then we'll pick it up another time. But Genesis chapter 39 verse 1. And most of you all would know the context of the story. But maybe for somebody who's listening in that didn't get to go to Sunday school like our children do, or somebody that hasn't heard the story in a while, Joseph was a boy that was born into a family of 12 children, and his daddy Jacob, he had been a guy that he had had a very interesting life. His brother, here he was, a man that he seemed outwardly, Esau did, like a good Christian and a good believer, but inwardly he really had no desire for the things of God. He really just wanted everybody to look at him and see what a good guy he was, and tote around that birthright and say, "Look what I am, and look who I am, look how good I've been to my daddy." And he had all the works done on the outside. And Jacob, in contrast, he was a shyster. Even his name meant that. And he was a supplanter, one that was a deceiver and deceptive. And he was always trying to try to get things to work in his favor, whether they was going in his favor or not. He somehow always found a way to come around and make things work in Jacob's favor. And so years and toils, and he begins to get deceived a little bit on his own. He goes and he works 7 years for the woman's hand in marriage. A lot of guys today, some of these young boys in the message, they wouldn't work 7 hours to get a girl's hand, hardly, let alone 7 years. And you better watch a boy like that, sisters, because he's not very interested in you. He might be interested in some of your qualities, but he's not interested in you unless he'll put in the time and effort. Oh, courtship, that's old timey. I wouldn't want to go and be around your parents. Let's go out here somewhere off to ourselves. Well, he's probably interested in other things than your hand in marriage, but you know, this man, he toiled 7 years for this girl's hand, and then his father-in-law does a deceptive move and marries him off to her older sister. What a dirty, rotten trick to play. I've had some dirty, rotten tricks played on me, Brother Trevor, but that was a dirty, rotten trick to play. And so he says, "It's okay. We're living under the law of polygamy. I'll give you the other sister too if you work 7 more years for her." And so 7 more years he toils and labors. And so then he begins to get a little bit of deception back on his father-in-law, and he begins to tell him, "Look, if these certain cows or sheep or things are speckled a certain way, then I'll take those and you take the rest." And then he would throw sticks and things down in front of them during their mating season, and here they would come out speckled, and Jacob would wind up getting the biggest portion of the sheep because he had figured out a way to deceive his father-in-law to try to get even with him. But one day he met somebody that saw right through his deception and saw Jacob for who he was. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver." And he said, "No, that's not really who you are." He said, "That might be what your mommy and daddy called you. That might be what your pastor called you. That might be what your friends growing up called you. That might be what everybody else sees when they look at you. But when I look at you, I look beyond your name. I look beyond your history. I look beyond your mistakes. And I see you for what I called you to be. I see you for what I ordained you before the foundation of the world to see. I see a prince." Yeah. Oh, Almighty, me a prince? Almighty, no, I'm just trying my best to give. But I see you being just like Abraham of old was the father of many nations. I see you being the father of 12 tribes of Israel that'll go out triumphantly, and they'll go into a land of Egypt, into slavery and bondage for some time, but they'll come out with a mighty strong hand, and your children's names will be known from generation to generation, even on into eternity. Those names and tribes will still... Me, Lord, I'm just a little deceiver. Stop calling yourself that. Stop thinking of yourself in that way. Stop talking about yourself in that way. Think my thoughts about yourself. Amen. You're not a deceiver, you're a prince. Don't let anybody call you by that old name anymore. Amen. And so now he has these 12 children, and each one of them, you know, different characteristic, different nature, and different ones as they would be born by their mothers, and they would cry out in their birth pangs. And Brother Branham tells us that the names of those children would geographically place them in the land of where they would be. And now Joseph being a boy that was a spiritual boy, and God coming on the scene and giving him visions and things, and sometimes as young people, even as Christian believers, maybe even you've come and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but Brother Branham says that the Holy Ghost, it doesn't make men born men, but men are born babies. Just in the natural birth, we're born a babe in Christ. We're born a baby from our mother's womb. Then in the spiritual, we're born a babe in Christ. And so when somebody gets the Holy Ghost, we expect them to be just as far down the road as some of us that have had it for years and years and years. But many times when we're babes in Christ, our zeal far outruns our wisdom of how to handle our zeal. And so Joseph comes, and God has been giving him spiritual dreams and spiritual visions, but he wants to kind of flaunt it before his brothers a little bit and say, hey, I saw one the other day where you all are going to bow down to me. They said, us? Bow down to you? Even Jacob got a little disturbed. Your mommy and your daddy bow down to you? All this and all that? I don't know who you think you are. Maybe I must have spoiled you a little bit too much with that coat of many colors and different things. Sometimes we do that to children, and then they get to a certain age, and then we just want to pull the reins and say, hey, you can't be like that anymore. Well, you're the one that trained the child to be that way and allowed them to be that way. And then they get to a certain age, and you think, now that's not cute anymore. We used to think it was cute, and we used to video you and show the grandparents when you'd stomp your little feet and sass mommy and daddy, but now you're 14 or 15 and it's not cute anymore. You got to stop being like that. It didn't say train them up once they get to teenagers. It said train up a child in the way that it should go. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know who that was for, but that was free. We won't charge you any extra for that this morning. And so now Joseph, as he begins to go forth, and he's a spiritual child, and his brothers hated him because they saw that he was a spiritual boy and that God was with him. And so now they cast him into a pit, thinking we'll pull a trick on him and prove something to him. But now as his older brother goes away to do something and he comes back, now there's a Midianite band that comes along. And there are a caravan there that's taking different clothes and sheets of materials, no doubt spices and silks and different things that they're, as a caravan, they would go across the country and sell to different places. They didn't have Amazon back then. They had Midianite caravans. And so, you know, it wasn't 2 days on Prime. It might have been 2 years or something. When you come back through our way, bring us a purple cloth of silk to make my wife a dress or whatever. And 2 years later, here they'd come along. Oh, my, here. Here's your sign up for your membership again. We'll come back next year. And so here they would come along and they would find this boy down in the pit. They'd say, hey, we're going to Egypt and they're looking for some slave trade down there. What would you take for that boy down there? They said, oh, here's the answer to all of our problems because of jealousy. And so they bring him up out of the pit and they sell him, their own brother, into slavery, but God was with him. And so the Midianite caravan goes down into Egypt. And in verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. I know it says Ishmaelites there, but go back and read a few verses before, and it calls them Midianites as well. They were the offspring of Ishmael. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Here he is sold into slavery. He's been taken away from his family, and here he is on the backside of the desert, acting as a shepherd here with his father's sheep and things, and now he comes and he's looking for his brothers, and right. And he's got a coat of many colors, and they take it and they kill an animal and dip it in the blood of the animal and bring it back, this bloody cloak, and give it to their father. And Brother Branham said, he said, even prophets can be deceived and wrong. He said, there sat Jacob for years mourning this son because he had been deceived by his children, and he mourns and mourns and mourns this child because God hadn't showed it to him. He said, God doesn't show his prophets everything. Amen. I'm thankful that God doesn't always show even his own children everything. Why? Because we wouldn't want to know sometimes what's coming down the road. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we wouldn't want to know what was coming down the road, but God prepares us and he shows us what we need to know, and the rest he just keeps to himself and says, I'll just unfold that little by little as they need to know it. Hey, he's wiser than we are. If he had showed me my life from the beginning to the end at the age of about 3 years old, I would have probably turned and run and hid somewhere in a cave for the rest of my life. But God knew all about it. And he knew not to give it to me all at once, but he knew to unfold it gradually as what we would need. He didn't just do that with me. He does it with each and every one of us. He did it with Brother Branham. He did it with everyone. I know there's people that don't believe that. Oh, no, he just knew everything from the beginning to the end. Well, then he lied to us an awful lot, and you'll never convince me that he was a liar. But there were things that he didn't know, even about his own gift. Just as if us brothers will be honest, there's things about our gift that we don't fully know or understand, whether it's a gift as a musician or a singer or a preacher or a teacher or a pastor or whatever it be. There'll be times when God will allow you to get into a channel and you'll pull into a gear that you thought, oh my, I never found that gear before. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes the musicians, they'll take off and be playing, and they'll do things that nobody trained them to do. They'll be doing things that nobody, they didn't sit and practice to do, but God will quicken something to them. Sometimes somebody will be singing and they'll have sang the song 5,000 times, and all of a sudden God will pull them into a gear and they'll reach a note or an octave or a pitch that they've never hit before. Why? Because it's God that's bringing them into their gift. Now, I wish we could just do that all the time and just say, well, I'm going to get up tonight and I'm going to preach like I did back here 3 months ago when the Lord really came down and did something. Or in this prayer line, I'm going to pray and God's going to heal this one just like he did that one. Oh, we would love to do that, but it's God that operates the gift. Amen. Whatever the gift that you have, if it's a gift to testify, you can go out and sometimes you can be talking to somebody and you feel the anointing of God. They're working on both ends and they're just hungry and you're giving. And then the next guy, he might want to spit in your face and slap you. Well, you've still got that same gift if you're really a witnesser. But it was that God, for whatever reason, didn't pull you into that gear, or that person wasn't receptive, or you wasn't in a condition to give it at that moment, whatever it would be. But God knows what he's doing and God controls and operates the gift. Brother Branham, for years and years there in the 40s, in the early 50s, he would go and he would pray for people, and he couldn't do a fast line and a slow line at the same time. If he went into discernment, he would just get stuck in that and he couldn't break out of it. And then everyone that came through the line, it would pull on him, and so he would wind up passing out and they would carry him off the platform, and he almost died one time, and he couldn't change those gears. It was either one gear or the other gear. He could either do a fast line, just pray for everybody and no visions, or he can enter into discernment. Then God tells him there'll be a time when you'll see a woman in a brown suit coming along. She'll have a baby. And when you see this, your gift will change and you'll be able to switch in and out of those gears and it won't bother you like that anymore. Well, he goes along and he's up in Regina and he's standing there in a prayer line, and here comes a woman with a brown suit on and a baby, and he's not even thinking about the vision, and he prays, and all of a sudden something begins to change in his ministry. And now he can pray for one under discernment and then bring 10 along and not have any discernment. He thinks, goodness gracious, what happened? And he remembers the vision. Why? It was because God was bringing him up into a different level of the gift and into a level of his ministry. Just like each one of us, if we continue to yield, we keep climbing into higher heights and things. Why? Because God's recognizing, I can trust him with that, so now I can trust him with a little bit more. And God was with him wherever he went, whatever he did. God was with him when he was down in the pit. God brought him out of the pit. Right. Maybe his brothers thought, we'll just leave him down there and let him starve to death. We'll never bring him out. But God was with him. And brought him out of the pit. Now he goes down into the country of Egypt and he gets sold into slavery. But God was with Joseph. and he was prosperous. Even in slavery, yet he was prosperous, and God places him in the best house that he could have been placed at, the master of all of Pharaoh's possessions and things. He's a prosperous man, and he's a master of the Egyptians, and God places him right into this man's house as a servant. And his master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
All right.
Now, it's not just that Joseph is recognizing this, but now other people around him begin to recognize this anointing. There's something about this guy that God is with this man. Here he is. Here he is, a captive. Here he is, a sojourner in a strange land. Here he is, his mommy and his daddy back home grieving him, thinking that he's dead. His circumstances are terrible. No doubt he wakes up many nights in a cold sweat with a dream of his family back there and how he misses them. And maybe he has nightmares about his brothers grabbing him and forcing him down into the pit. Maybe he has PTSD from that experience of his own family turning against him. I don't know what all he was facing, but I know that God was with him. Amen. I know even in the darkest of hours, no matter where he went or what the circumstance looked like, God was with him. We weigh our Christianity and our prosperity and our wealth and our enjoyment of life many times by the immediate circumstances at hand. And sometimes things look really bad. And sometimes they look really good. Oh my, we got a job and the bank account's full and God's providing and all the family's healthy. And then there's other times when this one's in the hospital and that one's in the hospital and the bank account's almost overdrawn. And you know, all the health and the stability of the family and the finances, everything begins to fall apart. But I want to say and declare to the devil this morning, God loves me and cares just as much about me and is just as present of a help and a loving father. And right there with me in the bad times, in the worst times, as he is in the good times or the best times. He's still right there with us. In the bad times, God was with Joseph. In the good times, in the times of plenty, in the times of famine, in the times of feast, whatever it was, God was with him. When he was healthy in body, God was with him. When he was sick in body, God was with him. When he was out there in slavery, God was with him. When he was a free man, God was with him. You know, really, our circumstances don't matter that much. I know that's hard on our human flesh to take. That's hard on us to wrap our little human pea brains around. But our circumstances, we get so caught up in them and we wring our hands. Oh, Brother Hoover, if you just knew what I was facing, if you just knew what my family was going through. Well, Brother Hoover may not know, and I may not know, and these other brothers may not know, but God knows, and God is with you. Amen. And so it doesn't matter so much the circumstance as it is make sure that he's with you. The disciples one time came up against a situation where their boat was about to be capsized and the boat was even full of water, but God was with them in the boat. Amen. Not just God that we could feel his spirit near us, but God tangibly in flesh was with them in the boat. And they begin to worry and to fret and to be fear. Why? But they weren't worried and afraid a few minutes before that, Brother Ben. They weren't concerned a few minutes before. Why? Because the tide was just normal. And the boat was just sitting there rocking gently. And they were rowing those paddles and having a little testimony service. And everything was just going fine. They weren't worried. They weren't afraid. Maybe one of them said, oh, isn't it so nice to have the master with us in the boat? Uh-huh. My, don't you feel that peace? Don't you feel that comfort knowing that he's right here with us in the boat? And they begin to testify and praise the Lord and raise their hands. Oh my, it's so good. Think of all the other boats, Brother Hoover, on all the other seas and all the world. But he's in our boat. He's right here present with us. And they begin to rejoice. And then all of a sudden the boat began to rock a little bit. And they begin to hang on to the sides. And they begin to hold on for dear life. And then the storms came up and the waves began to blow over the side of the boat. And they said, oh goodness, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. All that had changed was their circumstance. He was still right there in the boat. He was still the same God. He was still the same present tense healer, deliverer. He was still the one that opened the blind eyes, raised the dead, duplicated fishes and multiplied them on the sands of Galilee there. He was still the same God, still as present, still as helpful, still as merciful, still as loving, but their circumstance had changed.
Right.
Remember Peter one time, he had enough faith to step right out and walk on the water, and we begin to criticize him, but tell me your testimony about water walking sometime and get back with me on it. And he began to walk. Something that, you know, as far as scientifically, as far as the chemistry of it, to be able to explain it, to be able to explain how man could step out on water, that you could take your finger and just put it through, and he steps his whole body weight out there on the water, and he gets his balance. Well, how about that? And he takes another step. Well, glory to God. Explain it to me scientifically, Peter. What's it like? Did the molecules of the water change? What's going on out there? You know, I think if another man had jumped right where he was standing, he would have went right through the water. It wasn't that the molecules of the water changed. It was that Peter's faith had changed to recognize, hey, as long as I'm with him, everything's going to be all right. And he kept his eyes on Jesus, and he kept walking. That's how, oh, how are we going to get through these situations, Brother Nathan? How are we going to get through all this turmoil and everything? Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's how we get through every storm. That's how we get through every circumstance. That's how Peter could successfully walk on water. It wasn't his great balance. He might not could have rode a bicycle if they had such a thing back then. I don't think the rubber wheel had been invented yet, but maybe he didn't have enough balance to ride a bicycle, but here he is out on the waves, and he's walking and taking steps. Why? It wasn't Peter's ability. It wasn't Peter's mind over matter. It wasn't that Peter was a more super-duper Christian than the rest of the disciples. He got it in his mind. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And if he calls me to come, I don't care how unscientific. I don't care how impossible. I don't care what the odds. If he calls me to come walking, I'm going to walk right across that water to him. He had that much faith in Jesus. And he gets his foot and he steps it out over the boat. And he steps down there. And here he is walking. But then all of a sudden, he begins to look. And over there's some wind. Over there, some waves, and he begins to go down like he had cannonballed off of a high dive, and he begins to sink, and he says, "Help me, Master, I'm sinking." And Jesus didn't say, "You big hypocrite, I thought you said you had faith." He reached out his hand and grabbed him and pulled him up, and here they come walking together back into the boat. Yeah. I'm so thankful that he's always, no matter how far I've stooped or how far I've fell or how deep I've sank, he's always been there. All I have to do is say, "Save me, Master, I'm sinking again. Oh, Lord, I got myself in trouble again. Lord, it wasn't you. I don't blame you. I don't blame my parents. I don't blame the pastor, but I got myself in another mess again. I need you, Lord, I'm sinking." And he reaches down his hand and says, "I'm right here. I've always been right here." That hasn't changed. All that changed was your circumstance, Nathan. Amen. All that changed was you got your eyes on the circumstance instead of keeping them on me. Joseph's situation had not changed in the fact that he was still loved of God. He was still a spiritual young man. God was still with him. Didn't matter if he was in the dungeon, if he was in Potiphar's house, if he was at the right hand of Pharaoh, if he was down in a pit, wherever he was at, if lies were being told on him, didn't matter what took place. As long as God was with him, he knew everything was going to be okay. Now, everything may not have been the way that he wanted. Everything may not have been the way that he expected. But as long as God was with him, he could reassure himself. You remember the scripture said there when David was going along and he was wanting to fight with the Philistines. They said, "We're not going to let you go down and fight Israel with us. You might turn in the midst of battle and fight for them. You go back to Ziklag to all your family and your possessions and things." So him and his men get back to Ziklag, and here the Amalekites have come down and have destroyed Ziklag, burned it with fire, and stole off his family and different things. And now the men begin to talk of killing David, and nobody's for him, everybody's against him. But it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. There's sometimes when it's hard to find somebody to encourage you in what you're going through, but you can always encourage yourself in the Lord. And so Joseph, no matter if he was in a prison cell by himself, if he was in a pit and all his brothers had walked off and left him, if he was handcuffed on the back of a camel in a camel train of Midianites headed into slavery, and maybe he had to ride for miles and miles not knowing what his outcome would be, not knowing what his destination would be, not knowing what the circumstances would be like when he got there, yet he could still feel that something there close with him. I know God's with me. God's with me on the back of this camel. God's with me down in the pit. God's with me in the dungeon. God's with me if I'm shackled or if my hands are free. God's with me when I'm in Potiphar's house. He's with me. No matter where I go, I know he's with me. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus this morning. Whatever you face, whatever you're going through, keep them on Jesus. Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Amen. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You can get to a place where you feel like, well, it just doesn't matter. Whatever I do, it fails. Here, Joseph could have had that attitude. Here, I try to be a good spiritual young boy and share these visions that the Lord's given me, and my brothers turn against me. I'm sold into slavery. Then he gets out of slavery, and he gets into the house of Potiphar, and here he is, a servant in the house, and God's prospering everything that he does. His master recognizes it, and then one day his master's wife begins to have a little bit of an eye towards him and begins to flirt with him a little bit. He says, hey, you're my master's wife. I wouldn't dare to do anything like that. And so then she sets a trap for him, and then the trap doesn't work because God gives him the strength to get out of that, and then she tells a lie on him. And he could have sat there and thought, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. There she was tempting me day in and day out, and I resisted the temptation. Then she set a trap for me, and I got out of the trap, and now here I still wind up in prison anyhow. But he didn't say, poor pitiful me. Oh, Lord, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? He recognized that God was with him anyhow. In the prison, whatever it was. And when we can look back. You see, here's the interesting thing about hindsight. It's 2020. And we can look back down through Joseph's life, and we can see, Brother Hoover, we can turn the pages of Genesis, and we can read in about three chapters what probably was about 30 years of Joseph's life. And we can read through, and it seemed like forever to him, but we can read through, and we can look back down, and we can see, well, that was just the hand of the Lord. That was just the hand of the Lord letting Potiphar's wife tell a lie on him, because that got him into prison, and prison got him into Pharaoh's palace, and the palace not only saved his life, but his family's life and all of Egypt's life and all of the whole world. He did it to preserve life so that God could have a man there to store up food in due season, and God did all these things to preserve life. And we can look back and read it all and think, oh my, well, Joseph didn't have anything to worry about. God was just working everything out perfectly and so that he could get him at the right place at the right time. Because after all, Brother Jimmy, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Oh my, that was so easy. In three chapters we read that. Well, that was 30 years of Joseph's life. And times when the devil would come and say, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. If God loved you, he wouldn't let you be in this situation. He wouldn't let you suffer like this. He wouldn't let you long and cry and mourn for your mommy and your daddy that you haven't seen for years and years, and for your younger brother that you're just longing to see again. He wouldn't let you go through these circumstances if he really loved you. He wouldn't let you go back into prison if he really loved you. Here he exalted you, and now he brings you back down low again. Oh, he wouldn't do that if he was a good God. He's not a good God. He's a great God. He's the only God. Amen. He's a God rich in mercy. But God was taking Joseph step by step exactly where he needed to be, at the right place at the right time, not only to preserve his own life, but to preserve the prosperity of all life on the face of the earth. Amen. And he could have looked at it, oh, this is a terrible thing. This is horrible. Look at my circumstances. Well, I would encourage you this morning, wherever you're at and whoever you are, stop looking at your circumstances and start looking at the promises of God, and recognize no matter what your circumstance. You might say, oh, but Brother Nathan, if you was in my situation, you'd understand why I'm so negative all the time. If you was in my circumstance, you'd understand. You haven't gone through what I've gone through, Brother Nathan. You're right, I haven't, but I know one who has. Amen. He suffered in all manner and was tempted in all manner like everybody was, so he can sympathize with you even if there's times that I can't understand.
Right.
So it doesn't matter the circumstance. It matters who's with you in the circumstance.
Amen.
My. You know, let's just give a few examples of that. If you were standing there as a little 8-year-old boy or 8-year-old girl, and somebody at your school was bullying you, and it seemed like a terrible situation. Every time you go to school, there they was again. To just shove you around physically, or make fun of your hair or your skirts, or make fun of the you're too big, or you're too skinny, or you're too tall, or you're too short, or you got glasses or you don't got glasses, or whatever. They'll find something to make fun of. You're a Christian, or you did this, or you thought you said you was a Christian, and then you did something like all the rest of us, and so we want to call you a hypocrite now. And they'll find something. Every day you get off the school bus or wherever it is, and there you are facing that again, whether you're 8 or 12 or 50 or whatever it is. Sometimes you get off at work and there's somebody there that they're just going to push your buttons all day long. They're going to try to see if you're really a Christian or not. They want to see what you're made out of. And they're there to push you and push you until you feel like you're going to snap. But imagine if, as a little 8-year-old boy or girl, you went to school and it was take a friend to school day. And your daddy happened to be friends through a work acquaintance with the heavyweight champion of the world. And you said, "Daddy, I know he's a busy man, but he owes you a favor. Would you call him up and see if he would be my take a friend to school today?" And there you walk in with the heavyweight champion of the world. "This is my friend. I brought him to school today. Anybody want to make fun of me about my long dresses for you girls? Anybody want to make fun of me for my long hair today? Anybody want to call me four-eyed freak today? Anybody want to shove me around on the playground and call me names? Oh, no, you're not going to do it today, are you? I didn't have to have anxiety on the school bus today. I got my friend with me." Well, I'm going to say there's one greater than the heavyweight champion of the world. Oh, he is the heavyweight champion of all the world. Amen. That he's with you no matter what the circumstances, no matter what anybody says about you, no matter what anybody has done to you. He's right there, present tense. God is with you to get you through the trial. He's with you to get you through the storm. My. God help us.
Good.
1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 12. "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." Now, Saul could remember a time when he would go and he would fight the Amalekites, or he would go and he would fight the Philistines, and he could reach his hand up and there would be that heavyweight hand right there. The champion of all the world, there he would be right there with him, and he could feel that hand of God upon him, anointing him and leading him. But once upon a time, he did one too many things, one too many times, and grieved the grace of God away from him. And now he recognizes God is anointing another little boy to be king. And now Saul becomes afraid of David, not because David was bigger than him, not because David was smarter or stronger, but he was afraid because he recognized he's doing things that he can't do on his own. He's doing things that there's no way that little boy can do. That little boy, I've seen him out there, and he's pretty good with the sling, but he's no giant slayer on his own. But God was with him. Oh, I've seen him in battle, and he's pretty good with the sword, but to kill hundreds of Philistines out there in battle like that, he's not that kind of fighter, but God was with him. And he began to recognize this. "Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the place. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him." Now here David is. He's not king. He's been anointed as king. But here David is, and he's fighting Saul's battles, and Saul's getting the glory. But yet God was with him. And here he is fighting giants that everybody else was afraid to fight, but God was with him. And here he is out there on his own, guarding his father's sheep. And his other brothers were nowhere to be found. But a lion and a bear came to take away sheep, but God was with him. And now he finds himself running from Saul and Saul's army and hiding out in caves and different places and going from this side of the valley to that side of the valley because Saul's army is coming and running as a castabout. And yet God was with him. And there was something about it that a group of men would follow this man that was, as we would call it, on the lam, which I guess is kind of ironic to say of David. But here he is running from Saul's army and hiding out from place to place. And hundreds of men begin to follow him because they recognized, hey, this guy might be, you know, we don't understand all this. We don't understand why he just doesn't go in and wipe out Saul. He's had the opportunity to take his life twice. But one thing we know, God is with him.
Amen.
And they begin to follow him, not because David was a smoother talker than Saul, not because David was stronger in stature or height, but because God was with him.
Amen.
What's that in your hand, 1955? What was in his hand, Brother Branham says? A slingshot, but God was with him. That's the main thing. Whether you got a bachelor's degree or a degree of art or whatever you got, if you got Christ in you, what makes the difference?
Amen.
If you got Christ with you. My goodness. Christ with us. No matter what you're facing. Here Moses came to deliver God's children. A one-man invasion. He didn't have a machine gun. He didn't have a machete. He didn't have an army. One man, but God was with him. And now God grants deliverance in a supernatural way. But he brings all of God's children out into the wilderness. And he doesn't have a Costco. He doesn't have a Sam's Club to buy bulk for 2 million people. If he did, he doesn't have the money to do it. But God was with him. And God provided for their shoes and their clothes that they didn't wear out. God provided every meal that they had. God rained manna down out of heaven. God provided. God brought water out of a rock. God separated the Red Sea. God brought them through time and time and time again. The naysayers would rise up and the earth would divide and swallow them up. And fire would come down out of heaven and consume some of them. And why? Because God was with him. And it didn't matter. There came a time at some point, I'm sure, where somebody could say, hey, whether you're a fan of Moses or not, we have to recognize that God is with the man because God is doing things that this man couldn't do. I pray that that would be our testimony. Not look what I can do or look how great I am or look at something I did, but may they look and say, God is with that man.
Amen.
For some of you sisters out there, look and say, God is with that woman. God is with her. God walks with her. I've seen situations that there's no way she could have got out of herself or through or over or around. A human being couldn't handle those kind of pressures. But God was with them.
Amen.
Amen. Is he with you this morning?
Amen.
Amen. He's good to us, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. Yes. Let me read you this quote before we close. I've got a lot left, and I know I'm stumbling around here for time looking here, but I'm trying to decide where to stop. So you just pray for me. But I think we'll stop right here because if I go into this other section, we'll be a whole lot longer. Brother Samson Shetty texted me a portion of this quote, Brother Samson from India, early this morning. And when I read it, it went so well along with what I had on my heart this morning. So I thought I'd read this to you. Why are people so tossed about 1956? Brother Bram says, a Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests.
Yes.
It's all over. Now, if you go back and you read the story of how Brother Branham began to talk about this thought, not only in this sermon, but in many different sermons, I always find it ironic because God gave him this thought in the middle of the night. And I know Brother Hoover and some of the brothers do this, you know, that God will give them a sermon. They don't have anybody to preach to, so they'll just preach to their wife right there. But Brother Branham, God gives him this thought about resting. And there he is sitting up in the bed in the middle of the night, can't sleep. And God gives him this thought of resting. He didn't have anybody to preach to, so he shakes Sister Meade and says, hey, let me share something with you a minute. So she rouses up and sits up in the bed too, and he begins to talk to her about how that a Christian, the Christian walk is solely based on rest, and that all the Christian has to do is rest. And I can just imagine her, I don't know, you know, if she had a sense of humor very much or not, but I can imagine her saying, Bill, that's what I've been trying to do for the last 4 hours. I've been trying to rest, Bill, and you keep waking me up and preaching to me. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. Oh, in times of tribulation, in times of pressures, can we say this? A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer at Calvary. That's right. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments, but the Christian is at rest.
Amen.
Knowing this, that God is able to keep that which he has performed, knowing that no matter what the thing is and how it looks, there is neither sickness, sorrow, death, there's neither starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. We're at rest. Just let the old ship toss any way she wants to. The anchor holds.
Amen.
A Christian can rest in the good times and the bad times, whatever they're facing. Why? How can you do that, Brother Nathan? Because God is with us.
Amen.
Brothers, if you come, and sister, to the instruments, let me read you a couple scriptures here before we close. I know we've read this chapter, or these verses in this chapter many times over the years, but it's some of my favorite words in the Bible. It's so encouraging to the believer. Romans chapter 8. In verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Amen. Joseph could say that down in prison, down in the pit,
Yes. Wherever
he was at in slavery, in Potiphar's house, when Potiphar's wife would come against him. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh my, more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Nothing can separate us.
Amen.
Amen. God is with us. In the storm, he's with us. In the trial, in times of prosperity, in times of victory, whatever it would be, no matter the circumstance, God is with us, and nothing can separate us from his love. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that in the times of storm, yet we're more than conquerors, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Even when Satan would come against us and blow against us and try to cause our little ship to sink, Father, yet you're in the boat with us. Lord, for those at home this morning, you're in the house with them. For those maybe driving in their cars listening, Lord, you're in the car with them. For those here at church, Lord, each one, each situation, whatever their geographic location, whatever their physical position, Lord. Lord, whatever their political status or economic status or whatever it would be, Lord. As long as you're with them, the circumstances don't mean too much, Lord. When we can reach up and feel your hands, Lord, holding ours and saying, it's okay, my child. I never left you. I never forsook you. I promised you I wouldn't. I was there all along. I was with you in the ship. I was with you in the car when you almost had that wreck. I was with you through surgeries. I was with you through the loss of loved ones. I was with you through financial pressures and pressures at school, peer pressures to turn away and do things that you shouldn't. I was with you through temptations and trials. I was with you when you were victorious. I was with you on the mountaintops. I was with you in the face of everything that you've ever faced. Oh, and every time you got your eyes off the circumstances and got your eyes on me, you recognized it would all be okay because I was with you. Father, may we look at you that way. Lord, many times and when we're facing pressures of life and facing, Lord, epidemics like we are now, Lord, we get our mind on the details and We watch the death count, and we watch the news, and we watch all the statistics, and we watch the calendar for dates of when they think they'll release a vaccine, and we get our eyes on this one and that one, this politician and that politician and this news reporter and this thing that's got text around saying this is going to take place and the government's going to do this and this one's going to do that, and oh, you better be careful not to do this, and you better stay out of that, and you better not go here. And we get ourselves all worked up, Lord, instead of just looking fully in your face and recognizing no matter what comes, no matter what goes, we can lift up holy hands to you, and you can take our hand in yours and say, child, it's okay. I'm still right here. I'm still a present help. I'm still with you in your home. I'm with you at your job. I'm with you when you go into the stores, into the supermarkets to buy your groceries. I'm with you wherever you go. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, we're so thankful to be serving a God like that. We thank you for it. We thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for words of encouragement, Lord, that you've sent through different ones, Lord, to encourage us during this time. Thank you for quotes and scriptures and songs and things, Lord, that encourage our hearts to keep looking towards you. Lord, may we turn our eyes from the circumstances and turn our eyes on Jesus this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we love you, Lord.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus.
For his overcoming power.
Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
As they play that softly this morning, had a prayer request come in from Sister Courtney Vaughn. Brother Chad said that a neighbor of theirs, an ambulance, had come and picked him up this morning. They had just come back home from the hospital on Friday, but they couldn't get him to wake up this morning. And ambulance came and got him, and that their neighbor had walked over and asked if they would please pray. Amen. What a testimony that they recognize that in a time of need, there's praying people that can get a hold of the Master. Amen. As they turn in this prayer request, let's lift up our prayers to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You out there in your homes or wherever you are, join in with us in prayer. Lord Jesus, for this neighbor of Brother Chad and Sister Courtney, Lord, they've got enough confidence in them to ask them to be praying, Lord. It's a time of need, a time of desperation for their family. And Lord, we don't know the circumstances, Lord, but we know that you're still the master of the wind. Lord, and we're depending on you. We know you're still Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, that you're still a healer. You're still a Savior. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go wherever this person is at now, in the ambulance or in the hospital. Lord, maybe the doctors have given up. Maybe they don't know what to do. But Lord, may your Holy Spirit go into that hospital room. And Lord, may you just touch them and heal them. May a testimony come forth from it. We join our faith together and agree. Lord, we send out a slingshot of faith for this need. And we pray, Lord, may it be a testimony. May it be something, Lord, that this family will recognize, Lord, that they've got prayer warriors for neighbors that can get a hold of the throne of God when there's a need. May they recognize that there's something real in their life, Lord, that it would make them thirsty to have some of it, Lord. Be with us, Jesus. We commit this to you. May a testimony come forth in Jesus Christ's name.
More than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing it again together.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. Though the sails are torn and I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite. Let's sing it again together. Oh, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. Yes, Lord. Lord, my anchor holds, though the sails are torn. Let's sing it again. Oh, the anchor. As they play that this morning, amen. Why don't you, wherever you're standing, just lift up your hand to Him or kneel down beside the couch there, wherever you're at, just tell Him, Lord, I'm thankful. Oh, I'm thankful that my anchor is still holding. Lord, when the winds of life has beat against me, but Lord, I'm thankful that You're with me through the storm. Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, that even when we couldn't hold on anymore, that we have an anchor in Jesus Christ that's still holding when we couldn't hold anymore. That's still holding though the waves and the winds of life have beat against us and tried to tear us apart, yet the anchor is still holding. Oh, Father, we're thankful that even when we couldn't hold on to You any longer, You kept holding on to us. When we would have been cast away, when we would have fallen down, yet You were still holding on to us. Oh, I have fallen on my knees as I face all the rage and seas, but my anchor holds in spite of the storm. We worship You this morning, Lord. We give You praise. The anchor holds still, though the ship is battered.
The first two verses of this. Let's try to learn these other here. And I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise. side will serve the Lord. Oh, I will serve the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will serve the Lord. I will trust. Oh, yes, I will trust the Lord. Oh, yes, I will trust you, Lord. Though I can't see the shore, I know you've guided me before. I will trust you, Lord. Oh, I will trust. Doubt or hurt, I worship my deliverer. I believe his word. Oh, yes, I believe his word. Oh, I believe his word. When voices of doubt or hurt, I worship my. Praise you no matter what. Amen. Oh, Lord God, how blessed we are, Lord God, to be your people. Oh, Lord, let us always praise you, serve you, God, trust you in all things, Lord, for if God is with us, the circumstances don't matter, Lord. We can just look to you, God, and have victory at all times. Lord, I pray for all the people, Lord God, that you've allowed to hear this sermon, Lord, allowed to serve you, God. Just pray that you would always be with us, Lord, always holding on to our hands, God. Just pray, Lord God, that your mighty presence, Lord, would be with us in our homes, walking with us, Lord, as we testify of you, God, not of ourselves, Lord God, but of what you have done in us, Lord. How grateful we are, Lord God. Just want to give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. We thank you now. We just pray all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Oh, I will trust the Lord no matter what's going on. Oh, I will trust the Lord. Though I can't see the shore, I know you've guided me before. I will trust you, Lord. Oh, voices of doubt or hurt, I worship my this morning.